Jesus' disciples, he sent them out two by two a couple of weeks ago, and they're coming back from this really quite scary thing that Christ asked them to do, and they're coming back full of stories. They reporting all that happened while they were out. You know, remember, they're still new at this, and they're completely exhausted. And so Jesus, you know, they always know where to find a boat. At least four of them had a fishing business, and you know, they went to the family business, and off they went in one of these boats. So they head off toward over by where today would be near the Syrian border, near the Golan Heights. And this was Jewish territory at the time of Christ, called the Decapolis region. And it's possible that Christ might have even worked in that area with Joseph at times, you know, but it was a little Jewish, but mostly pagan. And they were going there to get away so that the crowds wouldn't be so heavy. But people found out about it. And so while they're going straight across the water, which is shorter, people on foot went around the Sea of Galilee, which was very inhabited at the time of Christ. Not so today because of the danger still of that part of the lake. And even though it's much longer to walk, they arrive first. They figure out where Jesus is going. I'm going to be burning my hands going this way. Ooh. And so what that implies is that Jesus took a long time. They didn't hurry going across the water. You see, while they're mid-water, nobody can get at them. You can imagine them parking the boat there for a while. If the crowds got there before Jesus, then they were deliberately taking it slow. It's as if Jesus had an intimation that he wasn't going to get the rest in that deserted place that he expected. And how often in our lives our plans change unexpectedly, and we don't find what we were expecting on vacation. But like that wedding, you know, she wanted a memorable wedding. Well, she got one, you know, right? And, you know, they were already laughing about it on the way out a little bit, which is a good thing. That's a healing thing, because it's a bit, you know, there's a bit of disappointment in your what you expected and what you get. But in reality, it's the goofy things that people remember and laugh about it. You know, it's what you've been through with somebody is what matters in a wedding, you know, and in life itself. And so people are hasting over there to get there. There's so many things around our lives that God wishes to speak to us about, and so many people are attracted to car shows. I think a lot of us, especially older people, remember having some of these cars in the parking lot or in the driveway and wishing we had one still. You know, I think at least five of them were cars that we had owned in our family, and any one of which would have made me wealthy, but they're all gone. We all sold at the bottom of the market, right? Anybody have that story to tell? Yeah, because we didn't know a good thing when we saw it. Or we sold something as junk. How often people sell Christ out as junk because he looks like junk to them, something to be thrown out with the trash, when in reality, he's the most valuable thing. But he hides himself so that we'll love him for himself and not for how wealthy he is. And this is why we have to go away in order to see what our lives are really all about. If we're just always so busy that we don't have time to pray, we're going to start losing our relationship with Christ, and we won't know where we're going. We'll just be moving very fast and not getting anywhere. This story reminds me of something that happened to me it's been over two decades. Somebody in South Salem invited me to Medjugorje, and I was still in the seminary, but they knew me because I had been a seminarian down there when I was in school, and they bought me a ticket, and so I and about five people went there. And when we got there, I'm trying to think of the year. I think it was 1994 probably, or 95. And there was a war going on in that part of the world. And we got there, and I asked myself what I was doing in Yugoslavia in the middle of a war zone, but that's what we were doing. And so it was a long flight. It was so exhausting. I actually fell asleep standing up in the Rome airport. I didn't think it was possible to do that, but I did do that. And we finally got there. It was a three-hour bus ride to Medjugorje because we ended up flying into, where was it? Anyway, it was 3 hours away from Medjugorje in Dubrovnik. That's where the bones of St. Blaise are. We celebrated Mass at St. Blaise's tomb there. That was interesting. And it's a three-hour bus ride. We were exhausted. So we're on the bus. I was not the chaplain. And we're going and going, and after 2 hours, I noticed it seemed like we were passing what looked like the same building every quarter of an hour or so. I thought, gee, they have a lot of these buildings here in Croatia, or wherever we were, Bosnia, Croatia, there's four different. So I went up to the bus driver and I said, this building looks awfully familiar. It says, yes, we've been circling the parking lot for 2 hours at the airport. There was a bombing going on between us and where we were going. So they wouldn't let us go back in the airport, and they wouldn't let us go out of the perimeter lot. So we went around the perimeter over and over again. So it was 5 hours to get there. And as I think about that, of all the interesting experiences that occurred on that pilgrimage, actually one of the best I've ever had, it was that long circling bus ride that I remember, because that's the way it can be in our lives if we don't know where we're going. And I think a lot of us have had the experience of going fast but not getting anywhere in life, that we're on a treadmill. And even the disciples are feeling this. Christ is feeling this. He himself is feeling it. He says, you know, I didn't come here to cure everybody in Galilee. That is not my mission. That's not why I'm here. There were sick people when he died. He was only there 3 years. Those were signs he was giving us that God loves us, but the sick people are still with us. You know, all of us have been there. Christ, when he gets to where he's going, these same people are there waiting for him. I mean, can you imagine how they felt? The disciples didn't know what was coming. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, here they are again. And Christ sees them like sheep without a shepherd in the first reading, and he changes his plans to teach them. But that was not his first mission. You know, his mission, he's going to go and he's going to die on the cross. But before he does, he's planting seeds everywhere he goes. These will be his missionaries someday. Many of these people later died for him. They're just getting to know him. And we too are called to get away. It's not just a vacation type of thing, but am I finding time somehow for Christ in my all the time I spend on the internet? Is God in there somewhere, or am I going in the wrong direction by looking at things that later may turn into sin, or wasting my time reading things that don't accomplish anything? I'm not talking about not doing fun things to read and do, but rather, am I making time for Christ somehow? Sometimes we go on pilgrimage, sometimes we go on a retreat, sometimes people go to the Adoration Chapel, which is a great place to go. But where do I pray? It's different for a busy mother than it is for a retired person. Some of us have more time. But is my relationship with God growing or shrinking? There are many people that throw the Lord out. They think they know where they're going in life. I'll tell you, we all end up the same way. You know, we have a ticket in and we got a ticket out. In between, we're here to figure out what life is all about. And the Lord doesn't make it that easy for us. We have to struggle. We have to look. We have to get out in the water and sit there for a while and look up at the stars like the disciples did. And they have Christ with them. They have the Creator in the boat. And yet, they had to get away. He made them search for him. He made them look for him. He didn't make it easy for the disciples, and it's not easy for us either. We have to look. And so Christ invites us to come away in the middle of July to this deserted place. This place he talks about is actually in our hearts. You know, there's a place that only you can go with God. Nobody else can get in, not a spouse, not a child, not our best friend, nobody but God, because he created that place for him alone. If this is where he wants us to go, we don't really have to go anywhere. You see, the people are so desperate to get to Christ, they're willing to walk all the way around the sea and meet him as like Elvis Presley or something, you know, somebody that, some hotshot person. Christ is such a draw, and yet he's right here with us. He's in the Blessed Sacrament. He's here at Mass. He's in the confessional. He's in the Adoration Chapel. He's in the people that we met also this week, especially the ones that caught us by surprise. It's a gospel with a lot in it. It sounds like a very simple one that we've heard so many times, but how often have we crossed the sea on a vacation only to find things are not the way we planned it, and it's not going to go the way we expected it? And that's life. That's when things get going. That's when God is present in this thing with us. So we ask God to guide us in our lives. As we are on this journey with him, we too have been sent out two by two, or so to speak. We have our mission, and then we must come back to God every so often and rediscover our mission in life. What has God called me to do in my life? Where is he calling me to go? What is his will for me in the present moment?